coming under great judgment. It has to happen. The earth, not the United States, not Russia, not China, not the Middle East, the whole earth has to be judged. And judgment is never pretty. And so when we completed chapter 8 last week, let's look in the end of chapter 8 and read these words. You don't have to stand because we got you on this one. Hallelujah. And listen, in verse 12. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels." Now, I want to say to you that these three woes represent the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet. Tells us, but each woe, that each trumpet sound will bring more harsh judgment on the earth than the previous judgment. The judgment seemed to get worse. I was going to go into something because I just want to make mention of it. I was going to go into something because in the generation that we live in this generation right now, there are so many people who have never walked into a church. They really don't understand what a church atmosphere is. If they've seen church, they've seen it on television, but they have no idea what it's all about. As they may not know the church, then they may not know who Jesus is. There are some people who have never heard his name. This speaks an indictment to the church as far as evangelism is concerned. The fields are white, Jesus said. Plenteous. Waiting for people to come out and just share Jesus. That's not being done the way that I believe the Lord wants it to be done. And so there are a lot of people who don't know Jesus. And for that matter, I've run into people who didn't really understand what a pastor was. That's the kind of place we're in. And so when you look at those situations, you must understand this. That means that there are a myriad of people who don't have a clue what sin is. They don't know what sin is. Now, that might be alarming to some because you may come out of a generation that understood what sin is. But the generation that we live now, are in right now, there are so many people who are doing things wrong and see nothing wrong with it. It's not classified as wrong. Why is it not classified as wrong? Because society doesn't declare it to be wrong. And if society isn't dictating what is wrong in this world, then people will not have an enlightenment on what sin is. Amen. They will not know the difference in going far or too far.
That's true.
They have not a clue because what they're doing, it seems to be in agreement with what they see on television. What they see in our political circles. Honesty, integrity, are not held up in our system. Regardless of how true or honest you appear to be, that's not held up as a bright spot for people to watch. You have to really do something wrong to be lifted up. You have to do something wrong. And so when you find that there's a judge who's on crack, a government official that's on marijuana, when you see that there's a president or a leading candidate or a figure in the political realm that's committing some kind of wrong, and it's not dictated to the populace that it's a wrong deed, then it's not going to be considered wrong for them. If he can do it, I can do it. That's pretty much how this world operates. And so when you talk about sin, I might as well keep on going. When you talk about sin, you have to think now, what is original sin? Where did it begin? And most people would say in the garden. And I would say, no, it did not. Because the original sin occurred in heaven. No. The original sin occurred in heaven. Isaiah chapter 14 tells us some wonderful things. Tells us about an individual who used to be part of heaven. He was connected to heaven. You want to go there? Let's go there. Isaiah chapter 14. Yeah, many people think that sin began in the garden. I want to say to you that sin began in heaven. And the sin that was committed in heaven brought physical death to the earth. There's a difference, isn't it? Okay. Now listen, let's look in verse 12. Oh, how you have fallen from heaven. From where? O morning star, son of the dawn, you've been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, this is the sin. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. Let's stay right there. Go to Ezekiel. So he was in heaven. Ezekiel 28. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Look in verse 12. Let's look in verse 13. Verse 13 says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. In where? Okay. Now, we are familiar with the sin that happened in Eden, because that's where Adam and Eve fell. That's where they committed the sin of rebellion and treason, in Eden. But right here, it tells us that this fallen individual, Lucifer, who when he hit earth became Satan. It tells us that you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you, ruby, topaz, and emerald, chrysolite, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, beryl. Your settings and mountains were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub. For so I ordained you. Satan was anointed. Yeah, God, he is beautiful too. He's the most beautiful thing you ever want to see. Look at all these beautiful jewels that he's adorned with. He was anointed as a guardian cherub. Listen to that. What did he guard? He guarded the worship. He guarded the praise. He guarded the transfer of finances. He had a high order position, possibly the highest of any created being in heaven. He must have had a high position because he was able to persuade a third of the angels in heaven to follow him. So he had some influence. I don't know how long he had this position. No one knows. It could be millions, could be trillions. Because they were all here before heaven and earth. These assignment keepers. God gives all of these angels assignments. And here he was, anointed. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created. There was nothing in him when he was created. He was pure. Till. Don't let that word slip by. Till wickedness was found in you. What was the wickedness? Back in Isaiah when he thought, I will arise. I will sit higher than God. God saw that. God heard that, even in his thinking. God Almighty. He didn't have to say it. God heard him thinking it. And God didn't even have to say, what you say? When you take someone who's put in such a high position, God will not tolerate disobedience or rebellion. When he puts you in a place that is so high, he doesn't play that. Now, his problem was pride. And he wanted to have a takeover. Now, I want to show you, because of his high position, God wouldn't tolerate it. The same high-ranking position that he would give a man, like Moses. He put Moses over maybe 3 million people. He started by telling him, go to Pharaoh, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Every step of the way, God showed himself strong. He showed his miracles, his wonderful works. And it got to a place where he told Moses to do something, and Moses did it his way, though. God said, speak to the rock. God didn't tell Moses, smite the rock. He said, speak to it. Moses took it upon himself because he was upset at the time. He was upset with the people. And he did what God told him not to do. Smoked, didn't speak. God told him, because of your deed, you will not enter into the promised land. Now, out of all those rebellious people that God had under Moses, every one of them rebellious, liars, cheaters. They wanted to kill, they were murderers. They wanted to kill Moses at one time or another. God didn't hold them accountable. He held Moses accountable. He took Moses on the mountain. Let Moses see the promised land. You'll see it, but you won't go in it. He doesn't put you in a high position so you can think you can handle it yourself. God from Zion. Even down here on earth now, he doesn't put you and promote you so you can think you all that. God is holding you in high esteem. He expects you to be better than those around you. He's put you in a special place so that you can hear what he says and do it the way he wants you to do it. Sometimes we get the blessing of the Lord and we feel like we can do it our way. It's uncouth to become familiar with the blessing of the Lord. God bless you. And say, let me tell you, God blesses some people regularly. There's a period of time when God may bless you for years. But don't you ever think in your mind that that's going to happen all the time, because just like Elijah, one day the well will dry up. Will you be ready when he said move? Will you be ready when he dry up that well where you are? Or will you think that he's still there and you keep working your religion? That's what some people do. They get anointed by God, and they get so good at being anointed, they start taking it upon themselves to be religious with it. They'll turn it into selling cloths and selling bottles of oil. And yeah, y'all don't hear me. That's what people think when they get real good at the anointing. Huh? Let me tell you something. Something that God does briefly, he doesn't mean for it to be continually. You think that just because you see a big church with a lot of people in it, that's God's style? That's not God's style. That's man's ways. In the first place, it's in God's mind and in God's heart that churches really be out there. Out the window. Out on the street. He didn't put it in man's heart to build a big building just so he can act like Moses. Act like Moses. I got a lot of people, and God is telling me to tell every one of them what to do. Even Moses had to be pulled aside by his stepfather. That thing you do is not right. That's right. You know, you need help, son.
Yes, sir.
Get some people to help you. There's too many people.
Yes, sir.
Huh? I like to think that we're in God's perfect will. Amen. Moving along just as he has us. We don't have it in our heart to be greedy. I'm not going to run this ministry the way we want to. It's going to be by the word or no word at all.
Amen.
Huh? And so God takes this angel that's been given such great authority and said, because I found wickedness in you, I got to throw you down. God threw him down. Threw him out. And the Bible says you were in Eden. That's why Satan was in Eden when Adam got there.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Eden, Satan was in Eden before Adam got there. Huh? See? And so there's original sin that began in heaven. Now it's on the earth. But in order for it to become real in the earth, it has to be taken up by a man. Because God created the earth for a man. He didn't create the earth for Satan. I want to say this, that there may have been a time when Satan probably operated from this planet. Let it sink in. Mine do that too. And what happens is, if Satan had a kingdom somewhere, I believe it would have to be here. Because where else can you ascend up? Where can you go up from to make your throne higher than God's? He was probably here. He was probably here. But we read in Genesis chapter 3 that God put Adam in a garden called Eden. And he got hoodwinked. Satan fooled him. Yeah. Now, this has to come from days, months, years of watching. Because you must understand, a human being is a foreign object to Satan.
Amen.
God Almighty. It has to be a foreign thing to him to see a person, a three-dimensional man or woman.
Oh, wow.
Satan comes from the spirit. Yeah. Everything is in the spirit realm. And then he's in a place where he finally sees something that he'd never seen before.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. And he sees them fellowshipping with God. He sticks around them close enough to find out what is the weaker vessel. He just finds out. And he goes to Eve. And he figures this out about Eve. She's a woman. And one thing I found out about women is women are very adept at anything that's beautiful. Something just goes off in a woman when they see something that looks pretty. Something on the inside just goes off. Oh, isn't that pretty? Isn't that pretty? Isn't that pretty? Isn't that beautiful? Something just goes off. You very rarely see a man say, ain't that pretty?
I know it.
Very, very rare you hear a man say, that's pretty. A woman would say, oh, that's a pretty baby. A husband won't say a pretty baby. You know what he'll say? Yeah, he cute.
Yeah.
He cute. But you see what he does. He attracts Eve with his beauty.
Yes.
He is beautiful. He has to be beautiful because they're in a place that is the most beautiful place on the face of the planet. They have a lack, they don't lack anything. And beauty is the theme of the day. Everything they need is there. Woo! And something stands out in the midst of all that beauty to get Eve's attention. He had to be a beautiful, beautiful. He's crowned with all of these jewels.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And never to mention now, because he was guardian over worship, he probably was singing. You know, he's an instrument.
Right.
You know he's an instrument.
Yes, sir.
All he has to do is stand in the wind.
Yeah.
And the wind blow through him and he'll sing the most beautiful song. Just standing in the wind. All that music coming through one instrument. Satan. And that catches Eve's attention. Not only is he beautiful, he can sing. I'm talking to women who have said that. Oh, yeah. You said that. You might not said it yesterday, but you said it. Oh, he good. He can sing. And he's good looking. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he woos Eve. He woos Eve right away from Adam. But because God has created Adam and Eve to be as one, wherever Eve goes, Adam is right there with them. You see, you must understand, when God calls them, he only calls them by one name. But when he calls that one name, they both show up. So that leads us to believe that everywhere Adam was, Eve was there. Everywhere Eve went, Adam was there. So when Satan hoodwinked her, Adam was right there. He didn't jump in and break it up. They were in perfect unity. So sometimes when you do something and don't say nothing, most times people will say, you in agreement with them.
That's right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's like this. Just because you don't speak on something that's wrong, sometimes silence means you agree with it. And so Adam's silence put him in cahoots with Eve. And Eve stood there taking all of this backlash when Satan was telling her, you know, you can be like him. Oh, you can be like God. You know, he told you that you shouldn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He told you not to eat. But he said that because he knows if you do, you'll know what life is all about. You'll know. You'll know. And she fell for it. And when she fell for it, the earth was still covered by the glory of God. The only reason we fall is because Adam took of the fruit. Adam was in charge. He was the high authority. Like Adam was like Moses, was like Satan when he was Lucifer. God gave him all that responsibility. If he had not have eaten of that fruit and Eve had ate and swallowed, no sin would have been accounted for. It would never be a problem. But because this man was given this authority over the earth, he was given dominion over the earth. See, his dominion was not limited to the earth, but the earth was the place that God put him in charge of. Adam had the authority to go anywhere he wanted to, because Adam, in all reality, listen to me close, in all reality, Adam was a superman. How else would you explain a man naming every animal on the planet, even those underwater? How would he know underwater unless he went under and saw them? He didn't say he named just the ones on land. He named everything. That means there had to be birds that he had to catch. Oh, you an eagle. Get out of here. A cheetah. the fastest land animal in the world. Cheetah. Sharks, whales, big mouth bass, naming them. He had to catch a mosquito. Mosquito? I'm not leaving anything. I believe God gave him the ability to name everything. Superman. He's called the first Adam. He operated in power just like the second Adam operated in. The second Adam is Jesus, and Jesus stood on the water and said, "Peace be still."
Yes, sir. Glory to God.
Jesus went in the wilderness, and he was out there for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was out there, the Bible tells us, with wild beasts, and nothing touched him. Nothing touched him. Dominion. And when he ate Adam, when he ate of the fruit, everything changed. Immediately, everything changed. It got dark. You got to understand now, before he ate, there was no thing called, such a thing called shade. There was no shade. There wasn't that sun shining on the tree creating shade. There was only the glorious light of God. There was not a tinge of darkness on the face of this planet. No darkness. He didn't have a shadow. I told you this is thought-provoking. You got to understand how perfect this place was. This place called Eden. Everything. Man needed nothing. But he failed. And so when people ask, what is sin? You need to understand its origin. Where did it come from? Because it started as sin in heaven, became death when it came to earth. Sin produces death. God told Adam, the day that you eat of this tree, you will surely die. He ate. Now, he didn't die. He lived to be 930. Now, this curse that God puts on earth, it's a twofold curse. You don't die once, you die twice. You die physically, and then you die spiritually. You see? See, Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 9:27, tells us that it is appointed for man once to die. After that, judgment. See, death in the Bible, when you read the Bible scripture, the death is almost unnatural. Because it seems like something that God didn't intend. So death is really unnatural. Huh? He told Adam, because of that sin, you know, you're going to die. He lived 930 years. But what happened, just as you watch a tree, it may not look like it's dead, but it is.
All right.
You got trees in your yard. You think they're alive because they sprout a leaf or two. That tree is dead. Over a period of time, it dies. You can take a branch off a tree, take it in your house. It'll live for maybe 2 days. The third day, you see it starting to wilt.
It will.
So that means when you took it in the house, it was already dead. The manifestation of death didn't show up to 3 days later. But it's dead. Adam was dead, yet living. Lord have mercy. Dead, but not living. You can tell by what he produced. When he produced a son, that son killed his other son. That's sin and death. Sin produces death. Cain went right out and killed Abel. Oh my. Produces death. Death is a Hebrew word. It's pronounced muth. M-U-W-T-H, muth. Sounds almost like mouth. Muth, that's death. It's an order of execution. It's an order to slay, to eliminate. But that is the first order of death. The second death occurs after all is said and done. When the great tribulation shows up and God writes the book off on history as we know it at this time, everything is gone. Then after that, when there is the judgment, either as a Christian, as a part of the body of Christ, as a member of the body, either you'll be translated before the great tribulation, during the rapture. This is what Jesus Christ has done. Mercy me. The Lord of glory, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the Son of the living God. This is why he came. He came to break the back of the second curse. The Bible tells us that for this reason, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Where death is a work of the devil. Jesus came to break that. He didn't say that you won't die the one death. But he said, I will stop you from dying the second one. Glory to God. The reason he can't stop the first death is because the first death permits us an avenue in which to get into heaven. If you don't die, you won't get in. Heaven is full of dead people made alive. Thank you, Jesus. Heaven is full of dead people made alive. Because he cut off the second death. At the cross of Calvary, he killed that curse. Didn't destroy death because death will be the last enemy to be destroyed. But he made it possible for us to defy. Glory to God. Death, where is your sting? He made it possible for us to defy the second death. Where is your grave? Where is your victory? So the second death, we don't have anything to do with. Because what Jesus Christ accomplished on Calvary and our receptivity of having Jesus Christ in our lives. That's why it's so important to get Jesus in your heart, get him in your life. Jesus provides a way to get up once you've been down. The same power that dwells in him, that raised him from the dead, dwells in us. Glory to God. You mean to tell me I'm walking around here every day like a pure human being and I got this resurrection power abiding?
That's right.
In me.
That's right.
And that resurrection power ain't going to kick in until Amen. I die. Good God. I don't know about you, but you got to understand this. A pacemaker is designed to kick in when your natural heart stops beating.
That's right.
The second resurrection, the resurrection that we're going to go through is going to be my kick in device. Soon as I die, boom, it kicks in. I'm alive. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, I was the one who was once dead, but now I'm alive. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. That power dwells in you.
In me.
It's in you. Right now. So what sin's intentions were to keep you separated from God. For eternity. You see, because that's what the second death brings. The second death, when God said that you will surely die, he was speaking not only of physical death, he told Adam that you will be separated from me. Now, let me tell you something. I don't know if you ever thought about this. If you are a person that believes that everything that you have and everything that you've done, you could not have done it without Christ. I mean, if you're that kind of person now, if every time you get a blessing, you thank the Lord. It doesn't matter if you find a dime or a dollar. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know if every time you look in your refrigerator and you see you down to your last hot dog. and you reach in there and grab those two hot dogs, thank you, Jesus. You may not have hot dog rolls, but you do have two slices of bread. Thank you, Jesus. I'm down to my last bag of oodles and noodles. Thank you, Jesus. I'm about to cut up some tomatoes, cut up some hot dogs, make something interesting out of these oodles and noodles.
But
thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. I've been down this road. Y'all looking at me. I've been down this road.
Yes, sir. I'm like you. You've never done that before. Yes, sir. Huh?
Yes, sir. Sometimes you ain't had nothing. And out of nowhere, here comes Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Meeting the need, supplying the need. Huh?
Yes, sir.
If you're that kind of person,
All right. Then
you can certainly appreciate what he's done for you at the cross of Calvary.
Yes, sir.
Because none of those things can really add up to what he has accomplished at the cross. He has given me what he said in John chapter 10. I've given you life.
Yes, sir.
And life more abundant.
Amen.
God Almighty. I've given you life and life more abundantly.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you die, you got to get up.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you die, you got to get up. It's not no, I hope I get up. If you die in Christ,
hallelujah,
you got to get up.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. You got to get up.
Thank you,
Jesus. Huh? Got to get up.
Thank you, Lord.
God gives us a wonderful picture in the book of Ezekiel when he shows us those bones and the question is asked, can these bones live? The brother said, Lord, you know.
You know.
You know.
Huh? Winds begin to blow and these bones just come together. So what is he telling us when these bones come together? I know that he's telling us theologically this is Israel and it represents Israel coming together. But I can use it if I want to. That's what makes the gospel the living word of God. It's living. That does not mean that wherever you are, you don't even have to be in a body. Thank God. You can be cremated. And God in his omnipotent way, he picked the dust up. Put the eyes back in. Put the bones back together. Put the sideburns on it. Put hair back on your head. Give you a beating heart. Cause you to stand up. If you die in Christ, you got to get up. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter if you died in an airplane accident, a car crash. God gonna put all them pieces right back together.
Yes, sir.
That's what makes this life so wonderful. There's some adventure in this. There's adventure in this. And so Jesus Christ comes and destroys the works of the devil. And to let you know, the true definition of sin is this. Sin is anything that does not agree with the character of God. That's it. If it doesn't agree with God's character, it's sin. I didn't say that God don't drink, God don't smoke, God don't fornicate, because that's unnecessary to say.
Right.
We know he doesn't.
Yeah. That's right.
But let me tell you this. Those are just earthly fragmented sins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are sins that, I don't want to give sin gradations, but there are sins that you can commit against God just by committing against your own body.
Mm-hmm.
Just by defiling your own body. Those are sins. Because God will not agree with you when you just let yourself go to waste.
Hmm?
That's not God's plan for us. Blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah. That's pretty strong. Because the Bible tells us all sins you can be forgiven of, but there's one that you can't be. Blaspheme the Holy Spirit? The one who comes to give us the life? And so when someone asks you if God is such a good God, why would he allow such bad things to happen to good people? It's because after all he sent through his son, he sent his son here wrapped in love. And when he was open and exposed, that was what his life exuded. Everything about his life exuded love. Love everywhere he went. And he came, and the Bible tells us in John 1, I believe it's John 1, it says that he came into his own, and his own received him not. The Father knew when he sent his son that he was going to be rejected. But he would not be rejected without showing first forth his goodness. He showed his goodness while he was here. That was his deal. It was the goodness of God. Scriptures are true when it says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. God will be good to you just to get you to come to him. It doesn't matter how dirty, how low down you may think you may have been. I don't care how cheapskate people call your names. And they might say you ain't worth nothing. You won't amount to nothing. You'll never be anything. You keep on doing that means nothing to God. What God will do, he will do to the lowest of the low. The Bible says that he will show goodness in order to gain repentance. If he can just bless you enough to get you to say, I'm sorry. Good God Almighty. If he can just bless me enough, as low as I am, all he wants me to do is look in the mirror, look at myself and say, I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Simple as that. He leads men to repentance through his goodness. That job you got living a low down life, God gave it to you. The money you got when you didn't think you deserve it, God gave it to you. Satan is not a blesser.
No,
God will bless you just to get you to come to him. He's like a popsicle man coming down the street. No, you don't have no money, but he'll bop that popsicle out on you. Take that popsicle. Don't tell nobody. Yeah. God is good. And so he's so good, he sent his son to come down here and die for anybody who would receive him. He just gave his life. And he gave his life so that we could have that resurrection power, that power to get up. And the reason people will go through this tribulation is because they resist God. They resist his son. They just happen to be part of the program. When they resist him, God's going to give people ample opportunity. You see? I know I'm supposed to be in chapter 9, but we got to go this way today. Got to go this way. Hallelujah. We really need to know what sin is, what we've been delivered from. And it helps us to serve God in a greater dimension. Love him for what he really is and who he is. I love God because of what he went through just for me. Just for me. Just for me to be able to get up again. Glory to God. Just to get up again. I used to feel remorse when I lose a loved one. I used to. Until they started getting saved. When them folks started getting saved, all I could say, going to heaven. Going to heaven. Dine it, going to heaven. Ann it, going to heaven. Nene, going to heaven. Columbus, going to heaven. What's your loved one name? Going to heaven. Enjoying himself. Jesus died so he can get up again. Go to heaven. What is going to happen is the rapture going to take place, and that's going to be a lot of people going to leave here. And then there's going to be an opening of a pit that's going to be released, and there's going to be locusts going to come here, and they're going to do it for 5 months, and they're going to torture people for 5 months. 5 whole months, people are going to be in pain. The Bible says they're going to want to die and can't die. That means you can take a gun to your head and shoot yourself. You're not going anywhere. Because of this rebellion against God, not receiving his son. See, God got to get rid of everything so he can cleanse the place. He's not mean, he's just. No, God, no, don't let nobody tell you God is mean. God not mean. God is just. He's just. If there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, he's got to cleanse it. I told you 2 weeks ago, he got a clean heaven. Because that's where sin was found. He don't want a stain in heaven. He don't want us to see anything to remind us that Satan used to live here. That's why he can wipe away every tear, so he can wipe away every thought if you have a remorse and sorrow and questions. You're not going to have to ask those kind of questions. You're not going to be sorry when you don't see somebody that you love here. He'll wipe that from us. There is no remorse in heaven. Only ecstatic joy. That's why I say when you come in the house of the Lord, you're just practicing. You need to be radical. Holler. We're not going to tell you shh. Scream if you want to. If you want to do flips, you feel free. Glory to God. This is what freedom is. If you can't feel freedom here, then there is none.
That's it.
You got to be free in this. The more free you are, the more frequent you'll hear from God. Thank you, Jesus. The more free you are, the more frequent you hear from Jesus. You hear from the Holy Spirit because you're not letting other things cloud you and bog you down where it cuts off your hearing. Lord, I can hear from Jesus because I'm free. I'm free to hear him. And so.
I'm saved.
That's all right. But you know, that probably scared somebody. This could be it. So now we know. Don't take sin lightly.
Amen.
Don't take it lightly.
Amen.
Because don't let sin sidetrack you.
Amen.
You know, we're on a serious journey. And the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory. You know what that means? That all of us are in a place where we're not what God designed us to be. We are not what he designed us to be. See? But glory to God. When Jesus Christ came and died, he dismissed a lot of things. He nailed my guilt to the cross. Nailed my shame. Nailed the bad part of me. Everything that I thought was good, he thought was wrong. He nailed it to the tree. Get this thought out of your mind. Sin is not God not wanting you to enjoy yourself. That's not sin. God doesn't for 1 minute not want you to enjoy yourself because he said he made all things for us to enjoy.
Amen.
All things for us to enjoy.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So, this is what we do. We just have to get in Revelation chapter 9 the next time.
Amen.
But I felt that, and I want this tape to get out there. I want this tape to get out. That's why it's so important that we begin to get this word out. We got to get this word out. We got to get this word in Italy and China and South Africa and in Los Angeles and Detroit, wherever people can go online. That's why it's important. I want as many people that can possibly understand English get this. Because there are so many people who feel condemned because they felt like they may have committed a sin that God will never forgive them for. I don't want that person to go into a room and blow their brains out. Don't want that to happen. Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads.